I was able to pay off some bills that I had, and I saw God's blessings coming in, and it's getting down, and I'm watching it come down. You know, it's just coming down. You know how you feel when you see those bills just coming down. And then I got a toothache. A toothache that, and I was hoping, I said, you know what, if I could hold out, I could go to Trinidad, because I already called and found out the price to get a root canal in Trinidad, $500 US, complete job. When I went down to the dentist here, it was $2,600 US. So I'm saying, well, I'm going to go to Trinidad and get this thing done. I could buy a plane ticket, get it done, and still save $1,000. Well, one night it kept me up all night. When I say it kept me up all night, you ever been in pain and the only thing you could do is walk? That's all I did all night. So I said, you know, I can't wait. I can't even stand a plane flight to go. So I went and I get it done. There's my blessings I thought I had just shrinking down. Then I say, you know, my eyes, my glasses, it's not doing the same, you know. Go to look for some glasses. Jesus, they think they're gold. Dwindling down. Then we send Anya to the dentist. Time for her cleaning. And her wisdom tooth is starting to give her problems. And they send her home with a bill to get that thing done. And I said, Jesus, I guess that wasn't so much a blessing. Because we just surpassed the blessing. But you know something? I thank God that I got the blessing to take care of those things. Even though it didn't bring down what I wanted it to bring it down. Because it bring it down and I'm going to put it right back where it was. Then I got a call from a longtime friend. And he was 2 years old when we had lost contact. He moved to England. And we are talking in the driveway. And this is a friend I knew in college. And this is a person I looked up to, very smart, I mean, can preach, can play the guitar, could lead worship like nobody in business. Haven't talked to him in a long time, and here we are talking in the driveway, and I'm walking up down the driveway, and we're talking, and he said to me, I thought I had faith. Until I came to Tocoa Falls and met you. You had faith. I did not have faith. He said, I thought I had faith until I met you. I never ever knew this guy thought this. Here am I looking up to him while I'm in college. And for the first time in how many years, he says to me, I thought I had faith until I met you. And we talk, he said, I remember I would work hard to pay my bills at college, and you would say to me, God is going to take care of my bills. And he said, I don't understand it. God took care of your bills. And it took him to fan back into flames. The gift of God in my life. Second Timothy. Chapter 1. We'll start at verse 3. I read it from here because it'll be bigger. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwell in you. Mothers, this is not what I'm preaching today, but I'm going to stop there. Mothers, do you just understood and see something special in that right there? Grandmother started a tradition. Mother picked up on it, and now it's in the son. I preach on that for Mother's Day. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flames the gift of God which is in you through the laying of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control, King James says, sound mind. You know, when we moved out to Crawford County, one of the things we enjoyed was to build a fire that you couldn't do in the city. We build a fire and we'd light that fireball and we'd sit down and watch that thing burn. Love seeing the flames. And I would get I had a piece of iron I'd take up, and ever so often I'd get up and poke it and the fire would come back and it would go down, and we just love it. And then we got to the place we love it so much that we'll get up in the morning. I will go out and I would start the fire again. But the good thing about it is I could not believe that, you know, in the morning I didn't have to carry any matches or anything. The amber was still there. So all I had to do was to pile some more wood on top of there and blow it a little bit, and it will just ignite. And we'll sit there in the morning and sip our coffee in the flames. You know, in 1 Timothy chapter, by the flames. Well, some of us probably need to get in the flames. Burn up the dross. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14 says, do not neglect the gift you have, which was given to you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Do not neglect the gift you have. Here's the thing. Some of us may not have had hands laying on us. Some of us may not have even been prophesied. But I guarantee a lot of us knows that we have a gift. And I know that some of us have been prophesied to about the gift that they have. I have no doubt in my mind. Folks, here's my question. What happened? What happened? the gift of God should be operating in you all the time. Paul started off and he said, I am reminding you of your faith. And he said something after he says, I saw it in your grandmother. I saw it in you. He says, it is in you. I'm reminding you of something that is in you. You know, when that, I go to say young man, because I remember him from Tocoa. He's about 10 years younger than I am. So he's younger than I am. Maybe not 10, maybe 5. He said, I thought I had faith. And when I looked at him, I thought, he's a guy of faith. And here he's telling me, I thought I had faith until I met you. And I tell you, something stirred in my heart, because sometimes God has given us a gift and we let that gift lay overnight, and in the morning there is no flame. And we get so accustomed of just having the amber burning and so satisfied with just amber. You know what amber means? It's like when you're cooking over charcoal. You ever cook over charcoal? Do you cook when the fire is flaming? No. We wait until it's what color? Nice, and it looks like an orangey kind of red color, and all of them like amber. They are real, real hot, and we put the meat on top of there and we cook it because we don't want the flames. And some of us are so satisfied with just amber. Let me tell you something. In the things of the Lord, just having the amber and the heat is not enough. We need the fire. And then he said, fan into flame. Now, when I was growing up, and you may not have this, and maybe Sister Barbara, maybe Sister Barbara would know about this. When I was growing up, I'll go get it for you. When I was growing up, we had a thing we cooked with when I was a little kid. A small kid. When I was small, I remember my grandmother cooked with this. It was bigger than this, because he couldn't feed all of us on that. Maybe that's why I was that thin. No. Okay. And I remember they would put all the wood in here. And then it will get to the amber stage, and she would go and she would. Or they will get a piece of cardboard. And they would do this number. And all of a sudden, the flames would come. Thank God we don't have to do that. He said, fan into flames. General Brute, the founder of the Salvation Army, once sent his messengers to those under him. He said, the tendency of fire is to go out. Watch the fire on the altar of your heart. Anyone who has tended a fireplace knows that it needs to be stirred up occasionally. William Booth said that. Fire have a tendency to do what? To go out. How can your fire go out? Or has it gone out? I will venture to say that most of us are operating in the stage our fire is out, or just the amber that we feel, and we are satisfied, and we are not flaming at all. We are so satisfied with it. That's why we as a church is not doing what God calls us to do. Because of the gift, we can become careless or slothful. And we can allow the enemy to come in and put a blanket on the flame. Laziness can reduce the effectiveness of our calling. Sometimes, because we know we have the anointing, we operate in it. But we operate it at such a level that it's only amber because we are lazy. Because we don't want to fan into flames. We don't want to add some extra logs on the fire because we don't want to go out and cut any because the splitting of the wood is too hard, or whatever obstacle you see, or you become so, well, you know what? Lord is still using me, so I may be doing something. It had a time I was so busy that sometimes because I know I have the gift and calling of God, I would not spend the proper amount of time in preparation. I had a prophecy that was told to me a long time ago in California. The person looked at me and they said, preaching is going to come, is going to be very easy for you. He told me that. Very easy. And preaching is very easy for me. But if I just take that and don't put preparation in it and don't, I could become slothful because I think I've got it. Some of you are not seeing the effectiveness in what God calls you to do because you are slothful, because you believe you have the anointing, because you believe you are called to do it, and you're not spending time perfecting what God has called you to do because you know you have the anointing. But what is happening, you really has become slothful, you really has become lazy, you really has been neglecting your calling and operating on only amber. What will happen? Oh, Jesus, what will happen if you take this message today and you go home with that calling and you get that piece of cardboard and you start fanning that flame, fanning that calling that you have? Oh, and we will have deliverance and we will have prophecy. Amen. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God, let us hear what you're saying this morning. I prayed, I told God, don't send anybody this morning that don't need to be here. Send people who need to be here this morning, who need to hear this. I wasn't expecting George this morning. And I said, well, Lord, maybe you don't want him to hear this. And guess what happened? George showed up. Now, let me tell you guys, I do not believe that things happen by chance. I don't believe it. I prayed. God heard. God answered. You know something? You cannot fan into flames if you never had the fire at all. I have a fire I built right back in the backyard right now. I built it about a month ago, and I never went out and put any fire to it. You think I could go right now and blow on it and it'll catch a fire? I could take out, I have a blower, one of those with a grass motor. I could go home right now and fill that thing up with gas, get that thing going, and blow that pile of wood that's sitting there. It will never flame. Okay. If the fire went out completely, you think that blower gonna make that fire come back alive? Amen. Only ash it'll blow away. Here's the thing. Right here this morning, we have three kind of people sitting here this morning. We have those who are operating with amber. We have those who the amber is all completely gone. And there's no more nothing you can't blow on. And we have those who were never on fire at all. And maybe there's a tiny 0.0000001 that is on fire. God wants you to burn. Folks, please hear what I'm saying this morning. God wants you to burn. It's not too late. Don't be surprised or alarmed when the flames go down. Just shake off those ashes and get some new kindling. Now, my ashes started when I spoke to that young man. Started to blow off. Hey, I've been saying I need to start a fast. I need to fast. I like to do a 3-day fast every year for God to give me some kind of direction at the beginning of the year. Now, for some ministers that will hear this in the future or may hear it, I know that's a little bit, but that's what I decided and what I feel God wanted me to do. And I'm laying in bed. I think I talked to him Sunday. I think it was a Sunday. Sunday, yes. I talked to him the Sunday. I'm laying in bed Sunday night with a few cookies. I have a little drawer upstairs next to my bed. I have cookies in it. I pull it out and I had a few. I do. Listen, this is who I am. Eh? And I take out a few cookies and I'm eating cookies. I had three of them. And as I finish eat the last one, the thought comes to my mind. I said I'm going to do fasting and I'm looking for a place to go fast because I like to leave. I don't like to stay home. I like to leave. And I said, you know what? I got to do what I got to do. I'm starting in the morning. And I'm going to try to go 5 days. And I got up and I turned to my wife who was laying right next to me in bed. And I said, don't prepare me any coffee in the morning. I'll be fasting. And I said, I'll go in 5 days. And I started. Something happened. He started to fan me. And the flame started. And I made a decision. I'm going to do something. And brother, let me tell you something. Sisters and brothers, I know I like to say brother, but let me tell you something. God is a good God. I mean, I didn't like it. First day, I didn't like it. Second day, I didn't like it even more. Third day, I said I may have to stop, and Jill says, keep going. And I kept going. 4 day hunger pain went away, but boy, I feel weak. Fifth day, if I walk up the stairs, my heart is beating hard just by going up some stairs. But this morning, I feel refreshed. After eating some of Jill's nice soup, boy, I'm feeling good. What I was doing is, I was putting some wood on the fire. I was putting some wood on the fire. I was doing what it takes to put some wood on the fire. I may not have liked cutting that wood. I may have not liked splitting that wood. I may not even like toting it into the house. But I was sure putting some wood on the fire and blowing on it so it will catch a fire. And I don't want this fire to go out. Some of you want fire, but you're not even spending time in God's word. Put some wood on the amber and start blowing. What you want? What do you want? Now, here's the thing. If you're satisfied with your fire gone, keep doing what you're doing. If you're satisfied with just the amber, keep doing what you're doing. If you're satisfied with no fire at all, that means you don't even have Christ in your life. Keep doing what you're doing. But I tell you this morning, if you want to burn for God, you got to change. You got to put wood on the fire and start fanning it into flames. Because when you start fanning, it will catch a fire and God will do something new. In your life, in this church, in this community, God didn't call us to just sit here and have church. He called us to be the church, to be effective in here and out there. I'm going to have to preach this again.
Five more days.
Praise the Lord. Listen. I went to take a shower and I look at myself. I said, boy, you lost some weight. Get on the scale, 17 pounds. I've been trying to lose weight for how long? Doing something spiritual affects me physically. Friday, I said, you know what? I need to stop taking my blood pressure pill. So I stopped taking my blood pressure pill Friday and I started monitoring, you know. One, it was like 120 over 90. Then every day, then Saturday was lower than that. I think it was last night I told Jill it was 114 over 74. I pray God that it stays good. I said, God, let my blood pressure stay good. I haven't taken blood pressure medicine in 3 days. And it's still good. And I'm praying to God that it stays good. Just doing something. And listen, guys. There's people who go, I didn't even know there were benefits, those kind of benefits to fasting. There's people who fast because they lift weight and they want to keep their body going good. There's people who fast because they're sick and they want to get healed. You could do that too. When I fast, I'm fasting because I want to get closer to God. I want God to do something. And that was my purpose for fasting. I just got some good side effects. Would you please put some fire on the amber? Would you please pick up that cardboard and start fanning? God wants to do something. God wants to do something. In fact, I could call people out right now. I've known people who got prophecies. And they're not doing anything with it. Because I've known them a long time. They're just sitting and doing nothing. But I don't have to call them out. They know who they are. They need to do something with it. I was going on to the next verse, but we'll leave that till next time. So I'm going to make an altar call. I usually don't do that, but I'm going to start doing it more often. You know, I was trying not to be too churchy and all of that. I almost said something. I said, to hell with that. I go do what God tells me to do. I'm going to start doing more altar calls, calling people to commitment. Let me tell you, it's not about churchiness. It's about the heart. There's a lot of church that have churchiness and have people on flames. It's about the heart. So I'm calling today. If this morning you want God to start fanning into flames in your life, if you want to make a commitment, because do you notice, do you understand what Paul said to Timothy? He didn't say, God is going to come down and God is going to pick up the fan. And he's going to fan. Did he say that? Do I need to go read that to see if he said that? He didn't say that. He said, Timothy, you. Yes, Timothy, you I'm talking to. You need to fan into flames what is already in you. If that is you this morning. I invite you to come. If that is you this morning, if that's what you want, if you want it, I invite you to come.